collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Punches to the end zone.
This is Collegiately Speaking with the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa. It's Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
And welcome to a bowl edition of Collegiately Speaking. Those words I'm not sure I expected to be saying. I'm Dave Ennett with former Northwestern quarterback Dan Persa. We've joined you all season to talk all things Northwestern football, going through a season that has been in many ways remarkable. And now the Wildcats are getting set to take on the Utah Utes in the Las Vegas Bowl Saturday, December 23rd. And Dan, I mean, I think when you and I started out and the Wildcats were coming off a loss to Rutgers to start the season out in Piscataway, I'm not sure anybody really outside the program was forecasting a bowl appearance for this team.
I don't think so. And I think, like you mentioned, you know, coming off that Rutgers game where the team was clearly mentally and frankly physically exhausted, to see them going on the run they went, winning a bunch of games without their starting quarterback, and then, you know, having a great finish to the season with, you know, probably one of the more entertaining games I've watched in a long time versus Illinois. So hats off to the coaches, the players. They stuck together. They seem to continue to stick together, you know, really after the season as well. So really proud of them and proud to be an alumnus of Northwestern.
You know, and I think it's really a pretty good opportunity for them, this Las Vegas Bowl. And I know some people look at it, the pecking order and the bowl selection process. Maybe you got passed over for another team at one of the other bowls. But personally, I think this one in prime time on the Saturday before Christmas, people have pretty much wrapped up their shopping. I think it's a pretty good opportunity, and it's a rematch of a game the Wildcats played in 2018 in San Diego in the Holiday Bowl, where they came from 20-3 down at halftime with a 28-point fourth quarter. It was a great comeback win for them, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I know Utah's the favorite, and based on what they've done the last couple of years, that's probably warranted. But at the same time, they've lost a bunch of guys going into this game, either to the portal or to guys who are going to bypass the bowl to get ready for the NFL draft. The Wildcats' losses, by comparison, have been relatively few in that area. So I think it's kind of sets up nicely for them. I think they're going to get a nice turnout out there, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I think it's a great opportunity. Like you said, the team's never been there. There's probably a lot to do in Las Vegas for them for the week.
You think so?
one or two things. Maybe some sort Day Soleil or whatever they say. I think, you know, from a mechanical standpoint, you know, there sounds like there could be a couple changes on the offensive staff, and to have a game sooner rather than later probably is helpful for that, to keep everybody together and then make any necessary changes after that game. I think, to your point, it's a great opportunity to play Utah, who's a perennial power. It'll be a well-attended game, and, you know, it should be a lot of fun, right? You know, the bowl atmosphere, you know, for however many years now, has turned really into almost, if it's not a, you know, the top playoff, into more of like a wild card developmental game because of all the different players going to the portal or not playing, given their aspirations in the NFL. So I find it kind of a preview to the next year, which is always fun, especially when you have younger guys getting the opportunity to play that didn't really play much during the year. And frankly, the coaches cut it loose too, right? Especially their, you know, quasi exhibition games. So they're typically a lot more exciting, and you know, the play calls are a little bit more exotic, which is fun for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's a lot of fun, and that's what it's supposed to be, right? It's supposed to be, obviously, it's programming for the television networks and for radio also, and it's supposed to be an opportunity and experience for the players, something they don't get to do all the time, play on a different stage against a team they don't ordinarily play, and it's a chance for the coaches to kind of do some off-the-wall things that they wouldn't do if they're in a conference game in November with a lot on the line as far as the standings in their conference. They're going to take some chances. Where better to do that than Vegas?
Roll the dice, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's an interesting time in college football. We're going to visit in a moment with Adam Rittenberg, who is the senior writer for ESPN. I know we talked to Adam early in the season. So much is going on right now with the transfer portal and NIL and coaching changes. And it certainly is not the game that you played, even though it wasn't all that long ago that you were wearing number 7 for the Wildcats. It's not the game I've watched over the years. It's changed a lot. I'm not saying it's all bad. I mean, I think there have been some changes for the good. But right now, I think it is a challenging time for fans because they don't quite know what to expect. Guys that they've been watching for their favorite team suddenly decide they're going to go play for somebody else. They don't get enough playing time. They want to go elsewhere. Maybe they want to go somewhere where they're going to make the most money, which is an unheard-of thought, and it was an unspoken thought not that long ago.
Yeah, it's really been fascinating, and there's been so many seismic shifts, and it seems like such a short period of time. And there could be, you know, and we'll probably get into this with Adam, another seismic shift in a couple years based on this NCAA proposal with kind of a new subdivision. But yeah, you know, I don't know where I stand on it. I think to your point, there's a lot of positive things, but at the same time, you know, there's some things specifically with the, you know, unlimited transfer portal and you know, coaches hopping around nonstop and you know, different, you know, financial incentives being involved that I don't love, but at the end of the day, the free market will figure it out and you know, hopefully it's a net positive for the guys. But we'll see. I mean, there's just so much change and there's so many things happening at once. I think just, and we've talked about this in the past, but the combination of the transfer portal with NIL, with the collectives, and it really being kind of a lawless system with the NCAA stepping back is just hard to follow and figure out what is legal and illegal and what people can and can't do.
Later on, we're going to visit with a former teammate of yours who's very much involved in the NIL piece of this, and that's Jacob Schmidt, former running back in Northwestern, longtime member of the football staff there, who is now the director of TrueNU, which is Northwestern's NIL collective. But right now, let's bring in Adam Rittenberg, our friend, senior writer from ESPN, covering college football. Is there a transfer portal for a sports journalist, Adam?
Well, I hope I'm not in it anytime soon. It would certainly be a lot less exciting than the one for college football players, which has filled up quite a bit, as you guys were discussing here in the last few weeks.
Well, would it be quicker just to name the players who have not entered the portal?
Yeah, it's certainly it's almost like if you don't go in, you're unusual. You know, even though there's a number of players who won't ever enter the portal, it just feels like, especially at a quarterback position, which Dan played, it's very unlikely that a player is going to go through his career without transferring at least once. And so this is just how that position goes typically because of NIL, because of playing time, because of NFL opportunities, or trying to, you know, better yourself for the NFL. So there's almost a quarterback category within the portal that's different in nature than everything else, but you certainly have players from around the country, every program that have entered here, even those that are in the college football playoff, you have a few players that are in the portal.
Isn't that remarkable that you had, of the four Heisman Trophy finalists, that three of them were transfer quarterbacks, and you just look around the landscape. I mean, Dan, I can't imagine you wearing a uniform for somebody other than Northwestern, but if you were playing, I mean, Adam's right. If you were playing today, there probably would have been schools knocking on your door and suggesting that you put your name out there.
Yeah, it's a fascinating phenomenon. And I, you know, I think, you know, we can talk about this in a second, but it just really boils down to the culture that these teams and players have. I'm interested to hear Adam's perspective on the whole Ohio State situation when you have one of the top quarterbacks, you know, in the league, just feeling like, I don't know if he wasn't a fit. I kind of heard it was a mutual breakup between them and they didn't really guarantee him a spot going forward, but I would just never imagine that, you know, something you're recruited there, you love that you're playing with your high school teammate, and all of a sudden they're like, "Eh, you didn't beat Michigan, so take a hike." So, yeah. You know, there's just so many weird situations that are hard for me to imagine, given the relationships that I built and the teammates that I had and the friends that I still have, to pick up and leave for, you know, whatever amount of money seems a little foreign.
Well, what, Adam, what is it? I mean, do you think it is that is it playing time? Is it going out to try to get the best NIL deal they can? Is it a combination somewhere in between? What do you think motivates these guys?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination, and sometimes, Dave and Dan, it's a lot of one of those categories. So for a quarterback, it can really be a number of things. You look at a guy like Cam Ward, who was one of the nation's top passers out of Washington State, but Washington State is entering an uncertain future, right? With the Pac-12 dissolving. And he's also very much in demand from an NIL standpoint. You know, he posted on social media a pretty nice dinner, lobster and steak dinner, basically, in Miami that he was and his parents had last night. And Miami's trying to get him, and other schools are trying to get him. And then there's also the NFL development piece, where you know he's a proven commodity, so he can go somewhere that maybe in his mind will better develop him for the NFL. I think DJ Uiagalelei is in that boat as well. You know, I talked with DJ back this spring when I was out in Corvallis, Oregon, where he had transferred from Clemson to Oregon State primarily because of the system that Oregon State ran under then coach Jonathan Smith, who's now at Michigan State. So Jonathan ends up leaving. DJ's back in the portal. And I think his ambitions are still very much, how can I get better for the NFL? He's a guy who did ad an ad guy for Dr. Pepper at Clemson. So he doesn't necessarily need the NIL portion, but he's looking for the NFL development portion. So it really depends on the athlete. But I certainly think NIL taking place at the same time as the portal has certainly accelerated how many players are going in or thinking of going in.
Matt Rhule, the coach at Nebraska, suggested a couple of weeks ago that a quarterback in the portal, a good quarterback, was getting $1 million to $2 million. Now, I know he said it somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but and now Nebraska, I guess, is on the list potentially for Kyle McCord from Ohio State. So, I mean, do you think we're really talking about those kinds of deals, or those are the exceptions to the rule?
I think those are the exceptions. I talked to a few coaches that actually wish that Matt Rhule had never said that because it's in their mind, it's not realistic, but it also puts it in the mind of a quarterback that they're then worth that amount of money from an NIL standpoint, when really only a few are. You know, could a guy like Cam Ward get over $1 million to go to whatever school he goes to next? It's certainly possible. Dylan Gabriel was probably in that category, who went to Oregon from Oklahoma. But I think there's a very few number of quarterbacks that really can command that type of dollar. But now a lot might think they can, because you have a coach that have gone on the record and said that's what it costs. So yeah, Nebraska's in a really interesting position, because Kyle McCord has visited there. They're also possibly going to be flipping the one of the nation's top quarterback recruits, Dylan Raiola, who again was initially committed to Ohio State, and then he switched to Georgia, and then, as you guys know, with his deep family connection to Nebraska, who has some deep pockets and can spend money, he may end up at Nebraska. So it's a very kind of transient sport right now at the quarterback position.
Wow, it's insane. Adam, switching gears a little bit to Northwestern. Dave and I were talking before the show about when we originally had you on. All we really talked, or a big part of what we talked about, was potential head coach candidates for Northwestern, and obviously that's solidified with the remarkable season the team's had. It sounds like David Braun has already said he's going to hire a full-time defensive coordinator, and it seems like they're in the market potentially for a new offensive coordinator as well. Would be interesting to hear the names that you're hearing. Obviously, they're looking internally for some of the defensive coordinator hires, but maybe some other names that Wildcat fans have heard of for both of those spots. That probably that change, both of those changes are coming fairly imminently after the bowl game.
Yeah, I think you're going to have some activity here with Northwestern on the staff relatively soon, just to figure out, who the coaches are going to be, because it obviously impacts the portal, especially, the likelihood of Northwestern going into the portal again for a quarterback. They had a lot of success with Ben Bryant and some success in the past with guys like Peyton Ramsey. So I would imagine Northwestern will be in the market, but you still have to get an offensive coordinator in place first. Again, David Braun, I think you have to look at where he's been and who he's connected to as possibilities. You know, one name that I would mention is a guy who may not be available, which is Tyler Rayl, who's the offensive coordinator at North Dakota State, who David worked with there with the Bison. You know, he's considered, you know, one of the favorites to replace Matt Entz as the next head coach at North Dakota State. But if he were available, I think he'd be somebody that David Braun has been connected to, and certainly someone he would, you know, maybe be interested in bringing into Northwestern as an OC. On the defensive side, it'll be interesting to see, Matt Entz, who was a North Dakota State head coach and is leaving to take a position at USC, was a name that I'd heard as a possibility to come to Northwestern, but he's obviously off the board now. Another name I keep in mind is Kurt Maddox, who is the defensive coordinator at San Diego State. Under previous head coach Brady Hoke, so he's had a little bit of experience in the Big Ten as a lower level assistant under Hoke at Michigan. So that would be a name that I would keep in mind, but certainly could look internally. A guy like Tim McGarrigle has done a great job there at linebacker for a number of years. Obviously, very connected to the program. So it'll be interesting to see how many assistants David ends up filling. Again, this is his first chance to really shape the program in his own image and put his stamp on it. And obviously, that will translate to the personnel as well after the coaching staff is filled out.
And Adam, going back kind of to the macro level of the college football, can you explain to me, like maybe I'm 5 years old, what was proposed by the new, NCAA president? And, after that, what is a realistic timeline for this? I have my opinions on it. I kind of understand it, but I think obviously your finger's on the pulse better than anybody. And in layman's terms, would love to hear your thoughts on what he's thinking.
Yeah, I'm still kind of figuring it out, and I haven't, spoken to too many NCAA folks about it, but I think it's basically a attempt to say that, hey, there's a group of schools that are just operate at a different level financially, and let's create a division within the current FBS where, schools would be required to essentially provide funds for their athletes through a trust. I think it's $30,000 for at least half of their athletes, and there would certainly be a Title IX component. But it's basically an acknowledgement that some schools are operating at a different level and that the sport is changing. And I think it's a good proactive step. I know that some were kind of upset that they didn't get a heads up that this was coming, but I think it's better to have that than the other way around, which has been the NCAA sitting on its hands and reacting to things or not really getting ahead of something like NIL to begin with, which has led to an environment right now that a lot of people in the sport are really concerned about. So I think it's good leadership from Charlie Baker to at least put this out there with some details. Is it going to go into effect exactly how it was proposed? I don't think so, but it never does with the NCAA, but at least it's out there. It's on the record. People can start to kind of debate it and see what maybe the best solution is going forward.
One of the things I thought was interesting, at least as I read it, guys, was that 30,000 is a minimum, but they can go over that, right? So it seems yeah. like the haves versus the have-nots, the haves would still have more than they don't have as much as. You know what I mean? I mean, there's still going to be some schools that would be in that subdivision that aren't going to be able to appropriate as much revenue or as much money to a player as other schools are going to be able to. There's still going to be inequities in this thing, regardless of how they structure it.
Exactly. And I think, but listen, there's always going to be a hierarchy in college athletics. And while maybe it's clearer now with NIL and the ability of certain programs to attract top transfers and top recruits, like it's always been this way. I mean, there's always been programs that have had more resources than the others. You just want to try to make it as clear as possible and say, hey, if you're going to be part of this division, this is what you have to be willing to commit financially. And I think those things are good because there are programs right now that are technically in the FBS who really shouldn't be, who are there because of ego or because of history or whatever it is, but really should be operating at a different level because they're structured in that way. So, again, anything that sort of says, okay, this is the group, right? And to be in this group, you have to meet these requirements. And if you want to go over that, that's up to you. But that's always been the way it has kind of been set up in college sports. I just think to kind of be intentional and say, hey, this is the cutoff line, is a good thing.
You got to pay your dues, I guess. Adam Rittenberg, senior writer, ESPN. We're going to see you in Vegas?
No, you won't. But I'll certainly be watching and interested to see how these games go. I mean, bowl games are so different, even from when Dan was playing, because of the number of guys who are opting out or transferring. So it's just a very kind of dynamic time in the sport every December because so much is happening. So I guess the good thing for Northwestern, though, is that they have not lost a lot of players to the portal. They obviously have, their staff that's still in place, even though it's likely to change after the bowl game. And then Utah has a little bit more fluctuation on its side, but you still have a longtime head coach. You still have their two coordinators who have been in place. So hoping for a good game. It was certainly memorable last time these two met in a bowl game. Yes, Dave, I know you were there in that Holiday Bowl. It was quite a comeback for the Cats. And what's interesting is that, Kyle Whittingham, the Utah coach, had been literally the nation's best bowl game coach. And since that Holiday Bowl, it's kind of gone the other way. So interested to see if the Cats can kind of continue that success, or if Kyle, who's just one of the best coaches in the country, can kind of reestablish himself as the king of the bowl game.
Yeah, we will see. It's going to be interesting to see what happens December 23rd. Adam, as always, we appreciate your time, and not just today, but all the time when we call on you. We appreciate it, and we'll keep reading you on ESPN.com and watching you on ESPN, and thanks very much.
Okay, great, guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the bowl game.
All right, thanks, Adam. There he goes. It's just such an interesting time, Dan, and there's so many wheels turning in college athletics today, and a lot of it's, let's face it, it's driven by NIL. And that's got a lot to do with it. But I'll go back to what I've said all along. NIL came on the scene. I have no issues whatever with players being able to benefit from their name, image, and likeness. But it started without much. It was pretty much the wild, wild west. It was pretty much, let's just start this thing and see how it goes.
Yeah. Interesting take, yeah.
You know, and so maybe they'll get a handle on it at some point. And well, here's a guy who does have a handle on it, and he is the executive director of TrueNU, which is Northwestern's name, image, likeness collective. And a former teammate of yours, wore number 39 proudly for the Wildcats, and it's Jacob Schmidt. Jacob, how are you?
Dave, Dan, I'm well, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, we've been talking a little bit about all the changing winds in college athletics, and of course NIL first and foremost, along with the transfer portal. And so you've had a chance to observe it, both as a member of the football staff at Northwestern, and then I wouldn't say externally, but kind of, because you're now in the NIL world as executive director of TrueNU, and it's obviously a work in progress here. We're still trying to figure it out. So, what conclusions have you reached about where NIL is now and where we're heading?
Yeah, Dave, it's funny, right? Because I am the same as you both, still trying to figure this out, right? And I heard the end of your chat with Adam. There's not a person across the country that 100% understands NIL and what it all means, right? Where this is an ever-evolving, ever-changing landscape. But what I do know, what I have concluded, and I think you guys will agree, is that in order to compete, you got to be in this game, right? You got to have the support. You have to be able to offer the athletes at your respective institutions a competitive plan within this NIL world. And so, we're proud of what we built at TrueNU over the last year. You mentioned it, right? I was obviously a part of our football staff for a long time, and when this rule changed 2.5 years ago, we were absolutely outside looking in, and we watched and we learned and we saw what was happening early on, And we just knew that, look, in order for us to compete, in order for us to give our coaches and our programs two fists in this fight, we needed to create something to help. And so TrueNU, as you guys know, was launched about a year ago, and I took over January 1st, and we've had a fun year. We've done some really good things. We're structured in a way that helps our community first, right? We're using NIL for good. We're relatively unique in that approach. But we thought, you know, why not? If we're gonna be able to leverage the name, image, and likeness of these athletes, let's do so in a really positive way and impact our neighbors and impact the community. So we're proud of that approach. And then, you know, we've invested a lot of financial resources into these athletes and into these programs. And that's why we exist, right? Again, we don't know everything about this world. It's continuing to shift. Obviously, you know, NCAA has some plans for the future here. But what we know is we need to compete, and we're proud to say that we are.
Jacob, dovetailing off of that, has the NCAA with new leadership and the fact that they seem to be stepping back into the void of some sort of regulation or proposal, have they said anything to, you know, the schools outside of their statement last week about where they see NIL going and any structure they may or may not place on it?
Yeah, Dan, to my knowledge, no, right? To my knowledge, that sort of pseudo proposal from Charlie Baker was sort of done in a vacuum, right? It sounds like he didn't have a lot of conversations with commissioners or athletic directors relative to the specifics. But certainly they're seeing everything we are, right? They're learning as we go here. And I think if nothing else, what that statement was last week was admission that change is necessary. Right, admission that there needs to be a sort of a new structure and perhaps a pretty progressive sort of new world of college athletics to put some real guidelines and rules around what this looks like. And so I think if nothing else, I think most people are happy with that, right? Because the current way in which college athletics is governed, you know, obviously with the topics like NIL, transfer portal, one-time transfer policies, realignment, I mean, this thing has just continued to change every single day over the last 3, 4, 5 years. So if nothing else, that was saying, look, we know it. We know what you're all doing, right? And so let's come together. Let's find a way to adapt. And ultimately, right, I think that was also sort of putting it on the schools. Right. By essentially saying, look, let's create a new subdivision. Let's let the big boys, right, the schools with the resources and the brand opt into a new league, come together, form some real rules, get on the same page. I think that, if nothing else, will hopefully bring sort of equity back to this sport a little bit, right? It's always been the haves and have nots. There've always been programs that are more resourced than others. But NIL and the lack of real rules around this craziness over the last 2.5 years has continued to just show evidence that the deeper pockets will continue to succeed. And while we might never fully get away from that, I think a new subdivision where you give the schools and the league more autonomy to create a league that works better in 2024, 2025, whenever this will actually happen, I think it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. Diving more into kind of the value proposition of TrueNU, you mentioned before, there's always going to be a distinction between the schools and the collectives that have unlimited amounts of money. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys are specifically focused on at TrueNU and what is kind of the true value prop to the student athletes and the folks that are considering transferring to Northwestern or staying at Northwestern and what your kind of day-to-day is?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. Yeah, we're as I mentioned, right? We see ourselves as a charity first, right? So the impact that we are making in the community is absolutely real, and we're proud of that. But when it comes to the athletes, right, and the programs, our focus really is on helping retain our best players, right? I think NIL, as you guys watch every day, is used certainly to attract prospects. To attract quality athletes out of that transfer portal, regardless of sport, obviously football top of mind for the three of us. But It's used to bring talent into your place and acquire athletes. While, you know, certainly a competitive and robust NIL program will help with that at Northwestern, our focus more so is on keeping our best players, right? Allowing these coaches and these programs to not become a farm system within this new world of college athletics, right? We don't want to let the Boot Buoys transfer away from NU. We don't want to let the Sammy Whites and the Izzy Skeins leave our number one lacrosse program and go somewhere else, right? We can't let that stuff happen. And so we've got to be able to compete in this new arena. And so that's really where our focus has been over the last 9 to 12 months. You know, obviously you guys see what happens on campus and who's playing for our teams. And, you know, obviously basketball with a gigantic win a couple weeks ago against Purdue, and our All-American point guard is on the court, right? So we're proud of the involvement we've had with all of our programs over the last 12 years. And I know we've talked a lot about sort of how we're structured, our goals, but we've worked with athletes from all 19 of our programs, right? We're very rare in that world, right? Most of these collectives are focused on basketball and football. And we understand why. We know exactly why that should be priority. But we're different. We're proud of it. We're focused on this for everybody. We understand football and basketball our priority and need to compete and need to win. But you know, our value prop here is, look, let's help these programs compete in this new world. Let's keep our best players so the product on the field and the court and the pitch are the best they can be. And let's use this to make an impact in our community.
Visiting with Jacob Schmidt, Executive Director of TrueNU, Northwestern's NIL collective. You've faced in this past year some unique challenges that certainly the news events of the past summer had to have an impact on you, yet a successful football season, I think if you look at it big picture, a basketball team which is ranked in the top 25 as we speak and coming off a big win, you got a lot going for you right now. How has TrueNU kind of weathered the storm here, the ups and downs of the past year?
Yeah, it's been tricky, right? It's been tricky, and everybody knows my connection with the football program and with Coach Fitzgerald, and so the summer was certainly difficult for all of us, you know, and especially for me personally. So it was a difficult few months, absolutely, right? We really took a pause on the fundraising front. There was just zero appetite to, frankly, support anything purple and white, you know. Regardless of what side of the topic you were on, nobody was willing to have those conversations. And frankly, we weren't willing to ask. And so, you know, you look at the last 12 months, we fundraised for about 9 of them, right? And so we've done some really incredible things given the crisis this summer and then the sort of the ramifications and consequences of some decisions made. And so, you know, the momentum that the football program now has created for us is certainly being felt. The success of our basketball program, absolutely, right? I mean, that over the last year has been incredible for a group like us. I mean, the positivity and optimism of last season, right? Getting to that tournament, winning a game out in Sacramento, that was huge for an NIL collective that was just trying to get off the ground. And similarly right now, right? The football team winning 7 games, going to Vegas in, 9 days, you know, Coach Braun earning this role, becoming our head football coach. I mean, really, really best case scenario, I think, for most things Northwestern, but absolutely for TrueNU. I mean, this was pretty devastating and pretty dark for a couple months. And for them to band together, win a bunch of games, you know, people are watching. People are interested again. People are absolutely appreciative of what Coach Braun and this football program have done over the last 3 months. And so that optimism, that positivity is helping us here as we get to year end. You know, we got a lot of work to do overall, but absolutely, you know, sitting there in August, not many predicted this. And us included. And so we're excited about it. It's helping us. People are listening. People are understanding why this stuff matters. And so we're hopeful that, you know, after a win next week against Utah, get to eight, finish this year strong, and basketball can carry us into the new year, that we're just going to keep growing.
Couple more questions, and we'll let you go. As
you bet.
If it's somebody who gives a set amount to Northwestern University every year to athletics, and they've got a fixed amount they always donate, but they're not sure whether to give money to TrueNU or to Northwestern, is it a partnership between you, TrueNU, and the university? Are you competing for those dollars? That's one piece of this that I wonder how often that comes into play, where there are only so many dollars people have to go around.
No, you're spot on, Dave. Yep, you're spot on. It's given the current structure, the current rules, we're a separate entity. And so the families who have supported Northwestern for years and have a set amount of money that they've given athletics, they're now questioning, well, where should it go? Right. And obviously I'm biased. Obviously I have a preference here.
yeah.
But what I'll tell your listeners, right, is that all 19 coaches are adamant that you support TrueNU, right? The way to best build a roster and retain a roster and compete with our peers today is to support NIL. And so certainly, yeah, look, there's a little bit of cannibalism, right? There's a little bit of competition for some dollars. But what I'll tell you is that next week I'm in Phoenix for men's basketball, and the Wildcat Fund and TrueNU are co-branding and co-hosting an event with Coach Collins and roughly 45 Scottsdale and Phoenix area alums, right? And the message there is, look, we're in this together. We are on the same team. We frankly need you to help us fill up every single bucket. Certainly right now there are a lot. And while we're separate, we are very much in this together. And it is as much of a partnership as it can be within this current set of rules. So we work closely with Northwestern Athletics, you know, baby steps on continuing to grow that partnership and find different ways where the institution can help us and vice versa, where we can help them. But you know, I was just out in New York City Monday and yesterday with Coach Braun, right? He was with us for 30 hours of nonstop fundraising. And so I think that will tell your listeners all they need to hear, right, where the priorities are right now, given the structure, given the rules, given the impact that NIL is having on these teams and these programs. TrueNU is absolutely where the dollars should be going.
All right. If somebody wants to help out, at TrueNU, get involved. Best way to do that?
Yeah, best way, easiest way, frankly, is go to our website, TrueNU.org. If you want to support, if you want to donate, you can do it right there. You can set recurring donations, one-time donations. So it's pretty simple. That's obviously via credit card. But if you want to talk about it, if you need questions answered, if you want to support in a different way, look, we take everything, checks, cash, Venmo, stocks, you name it.
Crypto? Do you take crypto?
We'll find a way. Person's a crypto guy, so he'll figure out how to send that into cash for me. No, but seriously, reach right out to me. Reach directly to me, jacob@truenu.org. You know, we're here to facilitate this the best we can for our place and really give our programs a chance to compete. So I'd love to hear from any of your listeners and just appreciate you guys giving us a platform here to continue to talk about it.
All right. Give me in 30 seconds your favorite Dan Persa story on the field or off the field.
No. We're not.
Oh, no. We'll keep the off the field quiet. I don't know if I have a specific story. And you know, we all remember Dan and just the incredible player that he was, right? I mean, certainly we lined up next to each other, you know, dozens and dozens and hundreds of times. You know, but I always remember Dan as, you know, he would get us out of some situations that was just what felt like insurmountable. He'd pull it off, right? He was one of the best to do it, at our place. You know, he was always on time with the ball. He was, if you didn't know your job, he'd get in your grill. I mean, he was absolutely the leader out there. I mean, we had a blast, you know, and we're getting old, Dave. I can't remember every game and every story and every snap. I got hit in the head too many times blocking for Dan. He never gave me the ball, but I blocked myself for him, pardon my French. So, no, we had a blast, and now just, you know, appreciate, obviously, the continued friendship, and appreciate you guys doing this, too, keeping obviously, stories about Northwestern rolling and highlighting the season they had. So, appreciate you guys.
You bet. Hey, great great visiting with you as always. Good luck, True and you. And I'll see you in Phoenix next week.
Awesome. Dave, thanks so much. Dan, we'll see you soon, man. Happy holidays.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thanks, Jacob. Jacob Schmidt, Executive Director of True and you. And just fascinating stuff. I mean, it's all new. I mean, it's if you'd said 5 years, none of this stuff existed. And it's something we're all getting familiar with now. Whether you want to or not, you better learn about it because it's the way things are going.
Yeah, and you couldn't have a better person leading it on behalf of Northwestern than Jacob, who understands all sides of it, who's a very smart and capable guy, who, you know, is you know, a great fundraiser. So really happy for him. You know, you talked about the couple month stretch, and I talked to him a lot when all that was going on. There was definitely some dark days where I thought he was gone. But luckily, you know, they turned it around and the basketball team is doing great. And I think he's as happy as anybody that all this happened because he's re-energized by it.
And it's awesome. Oh, he's doing a great job, too. All right, we got to get to Super Joe's predictions. So let's do that right now.
Prediction: to say or estimate a specified thing will happen in the future.
Super Joe's predictions.
It's everybody's favorite time of year. Bowl season. Predicting games is never easy, but recent college football postseasons have been even more difficult. Don't get me wrong, I'm happy players are benefiting from opportunities provided in the transfer portal and through name, image, and likeness, but it has made handicapping these matchups tough. For example, Ohio State, who ended their regular season with a 30-24 loss to the University of Michigan, opened as a 7-point favorite over Missouri in the Cotton Bowl. Since then, at least 15 players from their roster, including starting quarterback Kyle McCord, entered the transfer portal. The Buckeyes are now 2.5-point dogs. My point is, things can change quickly. So if you find a number you're comfortable with, fire away. In the meantime, feel free to fade a couple of picks that I have locked in. Florida State is getting 2 full touchdowns against Georgia in the Orange Bowl. It's not enough. I'm backing the Bulldogs and I'm laying the 14. I'm also going over the total of 62.5 between Oklahoma and Arizona. Fireworks in the Alamo Bowl. What could be better? Happy bowl season to all, and to all a good night.
All right, so final thoughts on this Utah-Northwestern matchup in the Las Vegas Bowl.
I think it'll be fun. I think you know, there are a lot of coaches that aren't really knowing their future right now. I think everybody's going to cut it loose, and hopefully we see some new wrinkles and frankly, some new players. But you know, I was happy to see that most of the team, you know, will stick together for this game. And a lot of the guys that, you know, will come back for next year, hopefully we'll find out that soon. But should be an exciting game. Utah's a great team. They're a formidable opponent. But I think Northwestern, you know, especially the last couple years, has played really well in bowl games. And I think they're going to do the same. They were peaking the last, you know, 3 or 4 games. And I think they're really excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Saturday, December 23rd, 6:30. Kickoff Chicago time. Our broadcast, by the way, will be heard on ESPN 1000 beginning at 6 o'clock Central Time on the 23rd. And you can also stream it, not on our website because of bowl restrictions, but you'll be able to stream it on thevarsitynetwork.com. Download the Varsity Network app, and you'll be able to listen to the broadcast there at nusports.com and also on Sirius XM Radio. And Dan, been great doing this again with you this year. It's been a fun year, and we'll look forward to good days ahead in 2024. But happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll sit down and talk about the 2024 season wherever the Wildcats are playing next year.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and obviously pleasantly surprised everything that's happened for the Cats. So happy holidays, and let's go get a win in Vegas.
All right, sounds good. Many thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich, doing a great job all season. Super Joe for his predictions. Thanks to Adam Rittenberg and Jacob Schmidt. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett. Thanks for being with us for Collegiately Speaking.